Philip II versus Bardyllus of Illyria. In the 5th century BCE, the Spartan general Brasidius had been dismissive of Illyrian warriors, claiming that they were far less formidable than they looked to inexperienced eyes. In their battle cries were frightening, and they postured and waved their weapons in hope of frightening their enemy, but he dismissed this as empty bluster. Steady troops would ignore all of this, and whereas civilized Greeks fought in ordered ranks, each man dependent upon his neighbors and unwilling to let him down, the Illyrian warriors were a loose mob. Brasidius assured his men that since flight and attack are considered equally honorable to them, their courage cannot be put to the test. Besides, a mode of fighting in which everyone is his own master provides a man with the best excuse for saving himself. Several generations later, it was possible that the Illyrians had adopted closer formations in battle, and there is some evidence that many wealthier warriors adopted hoplite-style helmets and armor. Even so, their style of warfare continued to favor individual heroism. The two armies, the Macedonian and Illyrian, met in a fairly open country, most likely near Lyncus. Marcellus had waited for the Macedonians to come to him, perhaps still hoping that Philip would make concessions rather than risk battle. A lot of the Macedonian troops were the sort of inexperienced soldiers that Brasidius had claimed were most easily intimidated by the noisy demonstrations of tribal warriors. Philip trusted to the training of his men they had received, and unwilling to talk, deployed his army in the face of the Illyrians. For a while, the Macedonians yelled their own challenges back at the enemy. Some ancient commentators claim that you could tell the outcome of a battle by listening to the shouts raised by each side. Philip advanced, ordering his cavalry to sweep around the Illyrian flanks. Bardyllus's cavalry are not mentioned, which suggests that they either gave way or dismounted to join the infantry. The Macedonian infantry were formed with the royal bodyguard on the right. Seeing the threat of encirclement, Bardyllus pulled his men back until they formed a large hollow square, a difficult maneuver that may suggest that the warriors still formed up in a fairly open order. Philip led his bodyguard, which moved faster than the rest of the line, most of which consisted of pikemen. This may have been deliberate, mirroring tactics pioneered by the Thebans' general Epaminondas and Philippidas as they defeated the Spartans at Lectra in 371 BCE, or simply a reflection of better training and confidence of his elite troops. Philip struck the enemy flank in the vulnerable corner of their formation. Theodorus Siculus tells us that the battle was hard fought and combat went back and forth for some time with heavy casualties on both sides. There's no reason to disbelieve him. Even Philip's best troops were not especially experienced. While the Illyrians were confident of beating the Macedonians once again, the Sarissa kept the warriors at a distance. But unless the pikemen were very determined and had great stamina, they would soon tire and struggle to inflict wounds. Combat tended to be over quickly or bogged down into a slogging match at each side becoming exhausted. The side most able to hold on and keep going forward, renewed the fighting, was the most likely to win. Philip and his bodyguard fought well, and after some time his cavalry managed to break into the square. There was no means of achievement in an era when horsemen were not expected to defeat determined men on foot in head-to-head encounter. Fatigue and continued aggression by the Macedonians meant that this time it was the Illyrians who started to give way. Once the formation was broken, it quickly dissolved into a panicked flight. Theodorus Siculus claims that 7,000 Illyrian warriors died in the battle, or in the various pursuits launched by Philip's men. The square formation would have made it harder than usual for men to escape once the army collapsed, so that a good many of these casualties are likely to have fallen close to the battlefield. Philip eventually recalled his men and began to deal with his own wounded. In properly Greek fashion, he set up a trophy on the spot to mark his victory, showing a similar understanding of how things were done and an acknowledgment of his appalling losses. Bardyllus sent envoys to beg for peace. Philip reclaimed all the lost territory of Upper Macedonia as the price of granting it. This was a major victory against a truly formidable opponent. Although we know of the successes to come, we could not forget that Philip had taken a big gamble. For the moment, all the pretenders were defeated or in exile, and the immediate threats had been beaten off. In the process, Philip had begun to recover lost regions and assert his dominance over neighbors. Plus, not only had he survived his first crisis, he survived the battle, and now he still had issues to deal with because it still did not mean that he was in a secure position. So we'll see what takes place next time, who's going to threaten him again. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.